Live and in color from the NBC News Radio Broadcasting Studios of KCAA, 1050 AM, 102.3 FM, and 106.5 FM, located in beautiful Southern California, and in parallel from the Turf's Up Radio Studio in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Thanks for tuning into the Water Zone Show this evening.
Well, good evening, and welcome to the Water Zone Show. Hope everybody's doing well. I had a little transmission problem there with the connection, so we're back on air, and I hope everybody's doing well. I'm your host, Rob Stark, tonight. Our other host, Mr. Chris Davies, unfortunately has COVID, and both him and his wife are suffering from that. And if he's listening, Chris, you got all my best wishes to get better. Do whatever you got to do. Stay in bed, relax. Get some sun, take your medicine, and try chicken soup. And we want you back here as quick as possible, but we want you healthy. That's most important. So, Chris, you got our wishes from everybody here at the studio and across the country, so we're thinking about you. So, anyway, I hope everybody had a great week. Everything's going good here. We're going to bring on our first guest. We have some good featured guests coming on at 6:30 in 30 minutes after our commercial break, so stick around for that. I'd like to welcome Ms. Chris Austin, who is the purveyor of Maven's Notebook. Chris, welcome.
Hey, how you doing, Rob?
We're doing good. I just wish the COVID thing was over so we wouldn't have to do these broadcasts remote, because sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes technical issues happen, and it's scary because you can't do anything. I can't touch the control board. I can't do anything. And when you're 350 miles away from the studio, things can go wrong. And unfortunately, that's a sad thing. In fact, I had a friend of mine over the other day, just talking about problems. We paid to see a special streaming version of David Bowie. One of his band members put this show together, and we had to pay this money to watch it. It was on Saturday, so it was a Saturday night. And we turned it on and checked into the internet and did everything we had to do after we paid the money. And we're sitting there waiting, and it says 4 minutes, and then 3 minutes, and 2 minutes, and 1 minute, 30 seconds. And all of a sudden, the time runs up, and we're just sitting there. And all you see is the screen still there. It says time remaining, 0000. Nothing happened. After about 10 minutes, they flashes on the thing that they had technical difficulties, and it will be scheduled for the following night. So it happens to everybody, so we all got to bear that. I guess the COVID thing is not the best of it, but how are you doing? You and your family staying healthy?
Oh, yes. Yeah, we are. We're staying home, hardly go out. My youngest son, who worked at Target, took a leave of absence a few weeks ago, which is good because they've had a lot of outbreaks at the store where he was working at. So, so we're doing real well here. Waiting for our turn for the vaccine and wearing our mask and, doing what we need to do. Yep.
That's all we can do. So let's get into some good California water news today. I understand that the Sacramento Superior Court rejected the State Water Board's attempt to apply water quality control plans to water not covered by the Clean Act.
Well, and this actually sounds perhaps a bit bigger, than it might really end up to be. The Trump administration rolled back the Clean Water Act regulations and made a lot of streams and waterways that were not considered, that were considered previously, dropping them out of, having to be regulated by the Clean Water Act. And prior to that, there had been some rulings in the Supreme Court that also sort of, questioned the ability of the states to, of the federal government to regulate some of these streams and waterways. So about 10, 12 years ago, because that's how, what is it they say about legislation? It's like, the two things you don't want to see is, being made is sausage and legislation. So the regulations I consider that legislation in a sense. So the State Water Board has spent like 12 years developing regulations to regulate these types of waters that were not being regulated by the federal regulations that the state wanted to, have some control over. And it took them all this time. And then when Trump came into office and started slashing the Clean Water Act, that probably sped them up a little bit. But, I mean, to be fair, the State Water Board had this in process a long time ago. But they finally finished it up, this policy of, what they call the wetland regulations. Technically, it discharges of fill or sediment to waterways of the U.S. or waters of the state. And while that doesn't sound like anything majorly impactful, it actually is. If you have a piece of land and you maybe want to build on it, or if you're a water agency and you're maintaining some types of waters that have become valuable for species or whatever, I mean, it really can start to inhibit certain types of, operations. Like anything, there's good and there's bad, right? But necessary stuff. But this sort of throws kind of a wrench in the machinery, because this ruling says, well, as a state, you can't set a blanket wetlands policy, not as the state board, but the regional boards can. So what this means is, theoretically, unless the State Water Board appeals, and they might, we haven't seen what they're going to do yet. What this means is that all these wetlands policies will need to be developed by the regional water boards rather than the state water boards, the state water board. So, I mean, we'll see what happens. I mean, it sounds dramatic in a sense because, and some of the media will play this up, that it was directly as a result of the Trump administration rolling back the Clean Water Act regulations, but it wasn't. It was in motion many, a decade or more ago. And, and I don't know to the extent what it's going to do, I think, more than anything, is put some more work on the regional water boards. There'll be a few years before they can get the protections in place that they feel are necessary. So unless they appeal, which they'll probably appeal, because, everybody we do that appeal. In California water, no one takes the first ruling.
No. And from there it goes to the appeals court. From there, then it goes to the state Supreme Court, and that can take forever. If you're talking years, just in the dollars to litigate it is just outrageous.
Yeah, so, we'll really see where that goes. Like I say, it sounds dramatic, but we'll see how much effect it really has. But I didn't get out of the article, and maybe I would have to dig into it. I don't know if it means that the regulations can't be implemented at this point. It probably does. I'm sorry, I didn't dig that far enough in there, but I imagine if a court says you can't, then you probably, it stops the implementation.
Yeah, I thought, to the extent to which the decision was made, it may impact the person discharging such waters, and it probably will depend on the regional board jurisdiction which the discharger is located. So I guess they're going to really buckle down to this thing and make that, the rule of the world, the world of California.
Yeah, well, it's a lot of work, for the regional water boards, but, I guess they have the state boards' work to look at. We'll see what the effect is, but it means nothing's probably going to happen for at least a few more years, because it's going to take time for the regional water boards to gear up to take on such a task. So.
Yeah. Well, we'll keep listening to them, see what happens down the road here with the I'm sure, like you said, it will go to the appeals court, but We'll stay tuned to see what that is. So I noticed in your Mavis Gulf book today, you were talking about El Nino and El Nina.
Oh, yes. El Nino and La Nina. The back and forth, push and pull of these sort of ocean, what do you call them? Ocean factors or ocean occurrences. Yeah, you know, El Nino's when the water is warm and La Nina's when the water is cold. And, you know, I mean, they really have made some really amazing advances in science in terms of meteorology, you know, in terms of what they've learned about atmospheric rivers, which, you know, are these large storms that dump enormous amounts on precipitation in Northern California, except this year they're all dumping it on Washington and Oregon. And they've identified these large-scale oscillations over the ocean. And, you know, we've been making all these observances for decades now, and so there's things that come out in the data that you may not see when you're only looking at 5 years of data, but when you start looking at 20 or 30 years, you start to see these oscillations that happen on a 10-year, you know, or longer time scale. So there's so many things that they've been studying, and one of those things that they've been studying is this El Nino and La Nina, you know, oscillation, which is much less. It's not one of those decadal sort of oscillations, but it tends to happen from year to year. And they're trying to study it more to understand, you know, what exactly it means. And, you know, I mean, the science is still out. You know, an El Nino year does not mean that, you know, L.A. gets blasted with tons of water and, you know, mudslides and Malibu slides into the ocean. I mean, some years it has, but then there's been other El Nino years where it's the precipitation's nowhere near Southern California. And it doesn't necessarily mean it goes up, you know, north either. I mean, sometimes El Ninos end up with Texas being blasted. And they haven't quite figured out why which is one and the other. But they're trying. And there's a lot of science that's going on. And La Nina doesn't necessarily mean a drought year, although I think that La Nina's tend to bring a drought year more so than El Nino's bring a wet year. But again, it all depends.
Well, you know, the Pacific Ocean is a gigantic body of water that has a huge impact on how our atmospheres behave. So for the most part, even though it's way out thousands of miles from northern and central Nevada, California, we still get affected by it. And you're right. I mean, you can't really just look at a one-year or five-year plan or event. Tracking, you really need to look at 10 and 20 and 30 years just to see what that all has. A lot of the trade winds that friction between the wind and water, the warmer water, I think, is traditionally pushed towards the western Pacific by those trade winds, and then it oscillates and swings back towards Central and South America. So, you know, we're sort of trapped in the middle. The water goes up north or the water goes south. we need to push towards us a little bit more.
Yeah, and it's amazing. It's actually incredible, you know, the work that's being done to understand what's happening in the atmosphere. And I remember when I took physical geography, the hardest unit that we did was on the atmosphere because, you know, they're talking about columns of air, you know, and it was really, really difficult. So it's amazing. You know, it's not easy to be a meteorologist, I guess is what I would say, or to be an atmospheric scientist, because that stuff is some, you know, hard stuff to understand.
Absolutely. So what else is new? What do you see is something that everybody should be looking out for here and paying more attention to?
Well, what's interesting is, you know, we have these water storage projects. many years ago, voters approved Prop 1, and that included funding for water storage projects in a very highly specific way. But there was funding about, I think it was $3 billion for water storage projects. And so there was a very complicated scoring system that was set up in statute. And so they had a variety of projects that got approved for these specific benefits they would be providing. And one of those projects, and there were milestones set up for all these projects so that they could maintain, you know, and get their funding. And so one of the projects, the Temperance Flat project, dropped out because it's a very expensive project. It didn't provide the sorts of benefits that the statute was looking for. And,
right.
And it required, I mean, it was hugely expensive. And there were a lot of environmental questions about it. And theoretically, I guess I shouldn't talk it in the past tense because project proponents have said that the project is not dead. But it's a bit of a problem. Anyways, they were awarded $171 million, and they said, you know what, we can't meet the milestones, we turn it back. So the California Water Commission has been, you know, trying to think about how they're going to spend this money that is coming back to them. And then earlier this week, there was a big story in the San Jose Mercury News that another water project that was approved, a reservoir in Pacheco Pass, which is between sort of between Los Banos and Gilroy, sort of the middle Central Valley to the Bay Area. They have a reservoir there that they want to expand, not the big one that you see if you're driving on the road, a one you don't see, smaller, farther down. And they received approval to build that project, but the engineering came back, and what do you know, is a big earthquake fault there. Doesn't
right.
mean it can't be built, but it, you know, about doubles the price of the project.
And you got mudslide problems and all kinds of things that can occur.
Yeah, and I mean, we're much better at looking at earthquake potential than we used to be. So,
mm-hmm.
and that's, and a lot of this has to do with seismic. And that doesn't mean it can't be built, but it means that you have to, you know, drill farther down. And so that was a substantial increase. Now, the proponents of the project, the Santa Clara Valley Water District, voted to continue with the project, even though the price tag was up. But that sort of means that, you know, one of the milestones that they have to meet is 75% funding for the remainder of the project price that wasn't covered by the storage funds. And that bar just, like, doubled on them. And they have 1 year, you know, basically by January 1st, they have to have, you know, now this increased funding commitment from other agencies or other people who might participate. So there's a real good chance there may be more funds coming back to the California Water Commission that they will have to see. So they're having a meeting coming up next week, and they'll be discussing what to do. But I think there's an opportunity for some new water storage projects to come forward. So we'll have to see. It's going to get interesting.
Well, let me ask you a little process question, maybe to inform me and our listeners. So say they have other entities that want to participate in this. And say a water agency says, yes, it's a great idea, but they got to go get approval, right? They have to have their own public hearings and things like that, which could take a long time. Is that correct?
Yeah. Oh, sure. Yeah.
Yeah. So these... Oh, go ahead.
They got a year.
Okay.
So, I mean, a year is a long time. So they, by January 1st of 2022, they have to have draft environmental reports produced, which they've already, you know, that's actually the first draft is what sort of brought this information out. And they have to have that 75% funding commitment. Now, we are talking about Santa Clara Valley, or in probably more common terms, San Jose, Silicon
right.
Valley. And it might be very probable that they can go to Google and to Apple and to these other places in the Silicon Valley and say, we need your help to get this project built. You know, the tech companies in the Silicon Valley have actually been very responsive. Google has done a project looking at how to combat sea level rise in, you know, in San Jose. They're at the south end of the bay. When sea levels rise, that includes areas in the South Bay. And Google has put money into, you know, looking at what can be done because, you know, they have an interest there. They have a huge campus. And so, you know, so they may be able to pull this out. They may be able to make this happen. It would be a dramatic setback for probably most any other, you know, place in the state. But it may be that that's what will save them. But it remains to be seen.
Hello.
So, if I'm just on, let me just make sure I understand. So, let's use the term or the scenario of Amazon. So, yeah.